We are on our second Sunday of eschatology. And I think, as I mentioned last week, I talked about what the rapture was last week. This week, it's differentiating the rapture from the second coming of the Lord. Okay, and we'll talk about that as soon as we pray. Father, thank you for our servants here at Northridge Baptist. Lord, it is so neat how the entire church family serves you. Every part does its share, and we are grateful to you for that. We are blessed that we're not like churches where few people do it all. We have such an involved congregation, and we just pray that you would help us to keep on keeping on until Jesus does return for us. Thank you for our pastors and our deacons and their wives, and Lord, so much that they do every day. And I pray, Lord, that they would just... From the front to the back, left to right, that they would feel appreciated here at Northridge and all that they do that seldom gets even mentioned. But we are so thankful for them. Bless our study, Lord. Increase our faith. Lord, give us peace in the midst of the storm that we face. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's do a quick review just so you understand what I'm differentiating here. Joanna's home sick, so I need someone to take her place. Wasn't she back over here at Pentecost? Pentecost? Oh, she was the end times. Okay, Miriam, can you go be Pentecost again? I don't want to confuse. Olivia, you're the rapture, right? You're rapturous. Hannah, were you up here? Okay. And Isaac, let's have a man. You're right up at the basket. You're the end of the millennium. Okay. Just as a quick review, so you know, at Pentecost, what began at Pentecost? The church did. Okay? Jesus told the disciples, go to Jerusalem and wait until you receive power, that power being the Holy Spirit. Okay? When they did, he told them that and went to heaven, right? In Acts chapter 1. They waited 40 days, and at Pentecost, they received power. They spoke in tongues. We believe that that's when they were placed into the body of Christ. That's when the body of Christ started. And they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, okay? Tongues as in languages of other people. Everyone heard the message in their own tongue, okay? Well, we're in this time period. That was about 33 AD, somewhere around there. And we're all the way up to here to 2015. Right? We have to be nearing the end of this, people. We're definitely closer than we've ever been. I never thought I would ever get married. I always thought the rapture would happen before then. I remember having a conversation with a junior high buddy on my paper route, saying it's too bad we'll never, you know, get to be married or whatever. I honestly will be shocked if I ever die. I believe the rapture will happen that soon. Okay? And boy, with the events, and I'm not a date setter at all. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's lining up for the events that would necessarily need to take place for the tribulation. Anyway, we talked about last week, the rapture happens when Jesus meets us in the air, right? And all the believers from the time of Miriam, from the time of Pentecost until that moment, that's the church, the body of Christ. They are caught up with the Lord and meet him in the air and return to heaven. Then there's this 7-year period that we know as the tribulation. 7 years, and Jesus judges the Gentiles and he prepares Israel to accept him. There's like a massive belief by the nation. Many of the people in the nation Israel, the majority of them believe on the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back here. We're going to differentiate this coming, the rapture, with this coming, which we'll call the return. When he returns to earth, that's the Battle of Armageddon and all of that. We're not going to talk about Armageddon so much today, but that's when he comes back. Okay, so those two. Then when he comes back, he judges people. And then for 1,000 years, Jesus reigns on earth. Okay? At the end of 1,000 years, which we're going to look up in our Bibles today, he lets the devils in the bottomless pit for the 1,000 years. The devil is let out for a short period of time, and even though they have a perfect environment, we can blame our environment all we want, but the descendants of the living that entered into the millennium, which, by the way, were only believers at the beginning of the millennium, there's all these descendants, and they rebel against God. And God wipes them out just momentarily. It's not a fight to fight against God of the universe, okay? There's no contest, but the devil makes them think, and then they're all cast ultimately in the lake of fire after the great white throne judgment here. Then God creates a new heaven and new earth, and then God comes to live with us on the new earth, and that would be eternity, okay? But we're looking at the rapture today. We're contrasting the rapture here. I'm not going to chop you. And the return, okay? Those two. So this coming, which he comes in the air, and this coming, which he comes to the ground, okay? Thank you, ladies, very much. And men. Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen. All right. The whole front side of your page is a review. So let me just run down this quickly. It's not in my PowerPoint here. What is the rapture? The rapture is the return of Jesus for believers. Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Okay? So Jesus is returning for believers. Number two, who is taken at the rapture? It's those who are Christ's. That is a specific group of people known as the church, the body of Christ. Those that are in Christ, those are the ones that will be raptured. They are, I suppose you could call it theologically, the bride of Christ. It's a select group of believers, okay? Number three, by the way, bride of Christ is referred to, referenced in some ways in Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the what? Church and gave himself for it, right? Number three, what happens when we're raptured? And I kind of summarized it here. You didn't have these words in there last time, but the resurrection and transformation of our bodies. So if we're dead, our spirit is already with the Lord, but then our body is resurrected and transformed. Notice Philippians 3 here, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Remember our study of salvation. There's past salvation where we believe and we're saved from the penalty of sin. There's present salvation where we're saved from the power of sin. And ultimately, future salvation, our bodies are still infected with sin, our bodies will be changed. That's future salvation. We'll be saved from the presence of sin, right? That's what we're talking about here. Not only is there a resurrection and a transformation of our bodies, but there's also the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. I believe that appearing is his, the rapturing kingdom is his, when he comes back. Or Hannah was standing there, okay? But there's different judgments. Some are eternal judgments, some are earthly judgments that are connected. The sheep and the goats is like an earthly judgment, if you will. But there's the reward seat of Christ. We all have to give an account for what we do as believers, and we'll be rewarded on that basis, okay? So that's the two things that happen while we're raptured. Number four, where are we taken at the rapture? Again, we go to heaven momentarily. It's for 7 years. As I understand it, 7 years. And after that, where are we? We're on the new earth, ultimately. We're on this earth during the millennial period, and then we're on the new earth with the Trinity, if you will, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, on the new earth forever, because God himself will be with us, okay, and make his dwelling with us. And another aspect of that I like to always bring out is 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So the key is not so much where you go as who you're with, that we do know where we're going to be, okay? Heaven for 7 years and then on earth with Christ forever. When will the rapture happen? Well, we really don't know. Okay, and we're going to talk about that a little more today. But Romans 11:25 indicates that there's a blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Okay, so there's this fullness of the Gentiles that's waiting. We think that's the church age. Most of us are Gentiles, and we're being saved. When that is finished, that's when Christ will come back. We don't know when that is. Okay, but that's a time period when the fullness of the Gentiles has come. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll get to that, okay? One other one. Today we will. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. I believe that falling away could refer to the rapture. Some people think it's apostatizing of the church. Which, if that's the case, we might as well go home and apostatize so the Lord will come back faster, right? But the falling away, or it could be the catching away, comes first. Then the man of sin is revealed, the Antichrist. So I lean toward the fact that the falling away is that. So it comes before the tribulation period. Number 6, how should the truths of the rapture affect us? I put them out in paper. We didn't have these last week, but I referred to them. But persistent service, therefore, refers back to the resurrection and the rapture that will happen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God tells us about the future so that we will be busy working today. Okay? Persistent service. There's also present comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. You know, he tells you all about the rapture, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, okay? You have present comfort that the Lord is coming back. When people die, it's not the end. When believers die, I should say, it's not the end. We're going to eventually be with the Lord with our believing relatives forever and ever and ever, okay? That's a comfort. There's perfected living. God expects us to grow up as Christians in this time period. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? God wants us to be perfected now. Okay? There's also the idea of patient waiting. James 5:7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Patience is the idea of enduring. Okay, you're hanging in there. Even though it's not easy, you're hanging in there. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Again, the coming of the Lord should be our central focus as believers in this age. We are to be directed and focused, directed by and focused on the coming of the Lord, because it changes our entire lifestyle because of that. The next one is probably tied into perfected living, but there should be a purified walk. If the Lord Jesus is coming back, and he is, it says this, after it talks about the fact that we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It says, and everyone who has this hope, the hope of the Lord returning in him, purifies himself just as he is pure. So God wants us on a purity pursuit. He wants us to learn to use the freedom that we have to serve God in righteousness rather than serving sin that we no longer, which is no longer our master. Okay? Now, turn to the other side. This is a little different because I put it in kind of a chart form, okay? Because I'm again comparing the rapture right here, Olivia to Hannah, okay? Those two spots, the rapture and the return. So each one of these has to do with that. And I'm looking at 9 different topics or aspects that have to do with this that are different. And there's probably more. Okay, but these are key ones. Why do we think the rapture is different than the return is another way to say this. Well, let's look at number one here, the believers. I think we're battery shy on that. That's probably why Sean's been having problems with that. Or maybe I just don't know how to use a computer. There we go. Okay. Try it again just to make sure. Anyway, believers, let's look at the rapture side first each time. There we go. Jesus comes for his saints. That's the word you fill in. There's no line, but there's a kind of a blank in the box there. Jesus comes for his saints. Now notice up here, and this is in your notes too, but each one, this is 1 Corinthians 15:23, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward those who are Christ at his coming. All right? Jesus returns, and that's one of several passages. I had to shrink it down because I like to keep it on a half a sheet here. But the idea that Jesus comes back for his saints, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 gives a lot more detail there. But the rapture, Jesus comes for us. What are the saints? Saints is another word for believers. A saint is a holy one, and that's what, how Paul refers to believers. The saints at Philippi, the saints at Corinth, the holy ones. It actually is an adjective, the holy ones, okay? We are saints because of what Jesus has done. We are holy in God's eyes because of what Jesus has done. So we use the term saints. Jesus comes for his saints. Now that's different than the return. This is at the rapture. We're here and Jesus catches us up and takes us with him, away with him to where? Heaven, okay? For the return, Jesus comes with his saints. We will be with Jesus when he returns. So you can't be with Jesus if you're still on the earth. Does that make sense? So that's why we say the rapture is different than the return. Some people like to say that the rapture happens at the same time as the return. It doesn't pan out. It's not good math, if you will. Notice here, 1 Thessalonians 3:13, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our Lord God, before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the next word? With all his saints. Okay? We're going to come back with the Lord Jesus. Got one thing I want to look at real quick. Time out. I'm going to read through an entire book of the Bible here. Just a sec. It's the book of Jude. I'm looking for the verse 14 of Jude. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. The Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. That's Jude 14, if you want to put that in the side margin there. Okay? So, the rapture, Jesus comes for believers. The return, Jesus comes with believers. For us, with us. Okay? Major difference. Okay? Number two here, location. All right? This makes a huge difference too. Okay? The differentiating the two. Number two here, for the rapture, Jesus meets us in the air. And as we understand, we go back with him into heaven. Right? That's what he said, that where I am, there you may be also, right? 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Jesus meets us in the air for the rapture. What about the return? Probably haven't studied the return as much. But we'll be there. Right? Because we're coming back with him, right? Jesus lands on the ground. And by the way, he doesn't just land. He does all kinds of things. He doesn't leave. This is in the Old Testament here. Zechariah 14, 3 and 4. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations. This is part of the Armageddon battle that's there. Okay, and then as he fights in the day of battle, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. That's in the nation of Israel today, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two. Jesus comes to earth, lands on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives splits in two. Okay, do those sound like the same events? In the air, in the ground. With the Lord forever, take me to be with you. On the ground. And by the way, he's there to stay. He's come to judge and to rule the second time he returns to earth. Okay? So Jesus meets us in the air, in the rapture, and we return back with him. Jesus lands on the ground at the return. On the Mount of Olives, it splits in two. And there's all kinds of details with that too, but we're not trying to get into that detail today. The purpose. The purpose of each of these, okay? And this makes sense too. What's the purpose of the rapture? We've already mentioned this before, but to receive believers, okay? That's a biblical idea. John 14, 3 again. John 14 is an important passage here. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and what? Receive you to myself. The purpose of the rapture is to receive believers. Jesus is going to gather the believers and take them back with him. What's the purpose of the return? Yeah, to judge unbelievers. Jesus comes to judge unbelievers. I have to look at my notes because I added more on the slides at times. Here's this you have in your notes anyway. Notice this. Matthew 25, a big passage with regard to the return of the Lord. Okay? When the Son of Man, that's another name for Jesus, it's actually a name that ties him into being the Son of God. I know that sounds funny, but in the book of Daniel, God the Son is called the Son of Man. So the Son of Man comes in his glory, that's his second coming, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, that's ruling, right? All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand but the goats on the left. By the way, the sheep are believers, the goats are unbelievers. Do you know what happens to the goats? The unbelievers, they're put to death. All of the unbelievers in the world are put to death at that point. Okay, he ultimately says, how does he say it? He sends him to the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's found in Matthew 25. Okay, now I don't know if they go to the lake of fire at the beginning of the millennium. They certainly will find their way there by the end of the great white throne judgment. That's what I think of as a earthly judgment as opposed to a... But then you have all the sheep, and that's who has all the children during the millennium. That's believers, okay? But not all of them are believers at the end of the millennium. A lot of the kids and grandkids and all that are born reject Jesus, even though he's ruling. They're rebelling on the inside. Amazing. Amazing. Okay, so the purpose, Jesus comes to receive believers at the rapture. He comes to judge unbelievers at the return. Okay? Number four, the kingdom. What about the kingdom? Remember this thousand-year reign here after Hannah? Thousand-year reign? With regard to the rapture, there's actually nothing said about the kingdom. Why? Because the kingdom doesn't follow the rapture. There's nothing mentioned there. Remember, and I keep bringing this verse back up, but he says, if I come for you, I will receive you to myself. And it goes on to say, that where I am, there you may be also. He prepares a place and takes us back to that place, which I believe ultimately is the New Jerusalem that'll come to the new earth, okay? However, the return has all kinds of information with regard to a thousand-year reign. That is his kingdom. The son of David, Jesus, the rightful descendant of David, will reign on his throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. And it's really easy to find because it's the third chapter from the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 20. We believe in a literal 1,000 years. And the reason why we believe that is for many reasons. One is we believe that Jesus has to reign on earth as the son of David to fulfill that prophecy. And he'll reign forever, by the way. But also the Bible brings up 1,000 years over and over. I mean, that's what it literally says, okay? Chapter 20 of Revelation, starting with verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the abyss, that's the Greek word, the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. In case you're not sure who he's talking about, he'll keep talking to you. Oh, yeah, okay, now I know who the dragon is, okay. The dragon, serpent of old, the devil, Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. How long? Okay, just checking, because I was just seeing if I was reading what you were. Verse 3, and he cast him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till what? The 1,000 years were finished. How long? 1,000 years, okay? But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat on him, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image. All of this happens during the tribulation period. And had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for how long? 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until, what? 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death, that's the lake of fire, it says later on in this chapter, has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, verse 7, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Now remember, we said he's let go for a short time, and even people with the perfect environment rebel against God, which is just hard to fathom, but it shows you how wicked our hearts are. Okay, so the reason why we believe in 1,000 years is because that's what the Bible says. We believe in it's a specific period of time. The millennium means 1,000 years. Okay, So I just put that one part up there, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, which then I would assume would be 1,000 years. Okay? But there's a kingdom that follows the return that does not follow the rapture. The rapture then has more people saved before there's the sheep and the goats that have to be judged. Okay, there's sheep there. The rapture takes all of the saved people away. So where did the sheep come from? Well, they're saved during the tribulation period, for example. And then there's all of the events that have to happen up to and including the Battle of Armageddon. The Antichrist, the beast, or the false prophet, okay? All of those things, the two witnesses, the things like that. So, okay, so that's the kingdom. The rapture and the return are different based upon the kingdom. The return is followed by the kingdom. The rapture is not. Okay, we go to be with the Lord. What about our bodies? What happens to bodies during this time? Okay, lots of different passages, but I'll give you one here. But the rapture, the living and dead are glorified. I'll give you one verse. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about the resurrection and being caught up together with the Lord. But 1 Corinthians 15 goes into a little more detail. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, so that they can no longer die, fall apart, wear out, and we shall be changed to be incorruptible as well. The dead being those in Christ, those that have believed, for if we believe, 1 Thessalonians 4 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, those dead, okay? Those also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, their souls, their spirit, if you will. But their body will be resurrected as an incorruptible body, and all of those remaining alive will be changed to be have bodies just like the Lord Jesus Christ does. Like 1 John 3 talks about, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay? So the living and dead are glorified. We get our perfect bodies, our sinless bodies, our non-sin-infected forever bodies. Okay? What about the return? What happens to the bodies there? Nothing. There's no bodily change indicated. Unless those put to death counts. Okay? Whoops. Just making sure I didn't have anything else there. Okay. So the bodies, the living and dead at the rapture are glorified. We get new bodies. Okay? The dead are raised with incorruptible bodies, and those that are still living, believers that are still living, their bodies are changed to be incorruptible as well. We get our glorified bodies. They'll be like the bodies, the body of Jesus. Okay? What about wrath? This kind of relates to the whole timing issue from before, but we have a separate point for timing. In relationship to wrath, the rapture happens before wrath. What is wrath? It's the outpouring of judgment on mankind. Okay? Wrath is the outpouring of judgment on mankind. Notice this happens, the rapture happens before wrath, and we looked at this, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will not be going through the tribulation period. Okay? The book of Revelation details, most of the book of Revelation details the tribulation period. Okay? From chapter 4 all the way to chapter 19 is the tribulation period. There are different judgments, bowls, trumpets, what's another one? Seals. They're called the wrath of God being poured out on people. And even at the very end, it's when Jesus comes back, he comes back with the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He's judging the world when he returns. He's wiping them out, the unbelieving world. Okay? That's what happens. The return happens after all of those bowls and vials and seals happen. You know, until battle of Armageddon, like I said. So all the way through the tribulation, which we haven't looked at in any detail at all, and maybe we'll do that next week, I'm not sure. Just a quick overview, because I don't plan on being here during the tribulation. You? Okay, just checking here. So this happens after wrath. Revelation 6:17 says, "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who was able to stand?" By the way, this is Revelation 6, before the bowls, the trumpets, the seven bowls, seven trumpets, seven seals in the book of Revelation, okay? All of that happens, and each one's indicating the wrath of God being poured out on the people of the world so that they would cry out for rocks to fall on them, hoping to die. It's going to be worse than any time in all of history. Especially the latter half of the Great Tribulation, or the tribulation called the Great Tribulation, okay? So wrath, the rapture happens before wrath. The return happens after all of those wrath events of the book of Revelation that happened during the tribulation period. So wrath. What about the timing? That relates to timing a little bit. Okay, the rapture. And I think we used this term before, but I don't think we put it in your notes. But the rapture is imminent. It can happen at any time. Believers throughout the church age believed that it could happen at any time. Okay? They weren't deceived or whatever. But there's nothing that has to happen before the rapture happens. Does that make sense? There's no events that you have to check off on your timetable. Now, when I think of world events and all of that, do you know that the Antichrist will control the world's finances? I'm a tech guy, IT guy. That's getting to the point where I could see that easily happening. You know, I carry around a credit card and they handle everything, right? They everything is connected. All of the different databases are connected. Okay, it would be easy for someone to take over, for example. So, and the way people can communicate around the world and all that, phenomenal today, right? So all of that, you can see, like, wow, we're getting right up, even though people couldn't understand it thousands of years or hundreds of years ago, when you look at it now, it's like, man, even more than ever it can happen right now. But here's a couple of verses. Titus 2:13, we're to be looking for the blessed hope. Again, our focus should be on the return of the Lord Jesus, because that's what's next. It's imminent. It can happen at any time. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 John 2 talks about that a little bit. How we are to conduct ourselves rightly, because Jesus can return at any time. And now, little children, abide in Him. Live in Jesus. Do what He wants. Live by the means He wants you to do, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him in His coming. Okay? There's one more verse, and then it talks about how we're going to be like Him in 1 John 3. For the return, this occurs after tribulation events. If you're in the tribulation, you'll be able to kind of figure out at least what's going to happen. You'll know that it's 7 years that has to take place. And then you'll be able to follow all the different events if you have any visibility to what's going on, whether it's the two witnesses or the abomination of desolation that happens in the temple at Jerusalem or whatever, things like that. You'll be able to see all of that going on, and you'll be able to figure out where you're at to some degree. You can't do that with the rapture. Even though lots of people try to set dates, there's nothing that has to happen. Right? There's no, oh, now the rapture's tomorrow. No, it could happen today. Right? The return happens after tribulation events. Luke 21 is a good passage. And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Then they will see the Son of, notice here, then. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. That is to saints in the tribulation period. We don't have that before the rapture. When you see all of these things happening, you'll know the Lord will be coming back soon. Can you imagine different tribulation saints hiding out or hovering or whatever the case might be and having this truth here? When all these things start to happen, it looks like the whole universe is falling apart. Hey, your redemption is coming close. The Lord will come to earth. Okay? That's the timing. Okay, destination. And again, these overlap quite a bit. But the rapture, where do people end up in the rapture? Heaven, right? We end up in heaven. I put more of this passage here. Now, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. Better than your house, though. Right? If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus will be in heaven during that time. Okay? He comes back to take us there to that place that he's prepared. Ultimately, that place will be brought to earth on the new earth, I believe. For the return, the focus is on the destination is earth. Jesus isn't coming down for the rapture. He meets us in the air and takes us back. During the second coming, his return, he comes to earth, right? And he's there throughout all of the millennium, right? And I saw the thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and did not receive his mark on their foreheads, on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Again, where? On earth. Okay? The return is to earth. And again, I'm only giving you a representative verse. There's all kinds of them. Okay. The last one here. And this is kind of an interesting way to look at it. The concept of removal. Okay? And again, it's just different ways to look and contrast between the rapture and the return. For the rapture, there's the removal of all believers from earth, right? Does that make sense? All believers will be caught up together with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, right? We'll be taken to heaven for 7 years and then brought back. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, not all the dead, but those that had died believed, to define that a little earlier in this passage, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, right? Those are in Christ, will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the idea of rapture for us. That's what we call the rapture, the catching up. Caught up together with them, the dead in Christ that are resurrected, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So there's a removing of all church-age believers. What about the return? I know it sounds harsh, but it's a removal of all unbelievers from earth. It should be just unbelievers. Looks like I got the underline wrong. It's the removal of all unbelievers from earth. This is the removal of all believers from earth, the rapture. The return is the removal of all unbelievers from earth. Okay, later on. 2 Thessalonians 7, or if you find 2 Thessalonians 7, you're in the wrong Bible. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed with from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Another way to say that is unbelievers, those that have not believed in Jesus. And on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would equate those two. Those are defining each other. Those that do not know God, those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These who? Those who do not know God, who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. That's what's different between the rapture and the return. At the rapture, God takes all of believers with Him. Okay? All church-age believers who have died in Christ, and all they that which are alive and remain will be caught up, the Bible says. All believers will be removed from earth. Now, there's many people saved during the tribulation period. Okay, we'll maybe talk about the tribulation period next week some. But a lot of people get saved, including 144,000 Jews. Okay, but all kinds of, there's two witnesses that God sends to earth, and there's all kinds of people saved, as well as a lot of people that just reject God. But at the end of the tribulation period, when Jesus comes back at the return, then He judges the sheep, the believers, and the goats, the unbelievers. He kills all the unbelievers, and the believers are the ones that enter the millennial kingdom. All unbelievers are wiped from the face of the earth. Okay? The removal of unbelievers. My question for you is probably obvious. Which are you looking forward to? Because if you're saved, I think you will look forward to the first one. If you're unsaved, the second one is what's left. And it's a long 7 years. A third of the population of the world is killed during the tribulation. Maybe we'll talk about the tribulation next week. It's not going to be a good time. Okay? And guess what? Nobody in the church age has to enter the tribulation period. Jesus has already paid for your wrath. He is your propitiation. He is the propitiation, the satisfactory payment, the wrath-appeasing sacrifice for our sins and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. If you enter the tribulation period not believing in Jesus, it's not because He didn't do what He needed to do. It's because you did not take Him at His word for who He is and what He's done. And I challenge you to do that today. If you have any questions, you come and talk to me or any of the other pastors. Okay? The future is interesting. Hopefully it'll help us focus on the return of the Lord Jesus at the rapture, okay? End times is not meant to scare you. It's intended to focus you on what you need to focus on while you're here on earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray that You would comfort us and focus us on that which is important. And Lord, we do not know when the Lord Jesus is coming back. He could come back this very day. But we believe it is closer than ever before. And Lord, we look forward to Jesus' return for us in the air. We pray this in His name. Amen.